You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our conversation. It's 25 minutes before 3. We do have Pastor Abhishek Mabulanga Thomas, who's going to help us with our daily focus. We were supposed to have it at 2, but we're not able to reach the pastor. Now the pastor is reachable. The pastor is now on the line. While sculptures are part of art, that's what we're talking about this week, art and faith. Sculptures can evoke awe. The Bible warns against idol worship. In fact, when you go to certain countries, there are huge, huge sculptures. You go to Egypt, there are those sphinx. When you go to Rome, there are those big statues, those sculptures. And then particularly in Italy and the Vatican, all those. But the point of the matter is, it's all art, even though it can be borderline idolatry. How do we then reconcile creativity with biblical caution? This topic explores how Adventists can navigate the final line between honoring God and avoiding idol-like tendencies with the seductive, alluring influence of art. Pastor Abhishek Mabulanga Thomas, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. And how are you doing, sir?
I am well. Thank you very much, Mfundis. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I hope our viewers are also doing well.
I trust they're all well, Mfundis. I trust that they're all well.
Amen.
So, Mfundis, let's get into our conversation for tonight. Our time really is not on our side. How can sculptures be used responsibly within Christian settings, knowing full well that God is against idolatry? How can sculptures be used responsibly within Christian settings?
All right, thank you so much. So how can sculptures be used? Number one, sculptures can be used as teaching aids. When you come to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 and 5, the Bible says the sanctuary included physical items like the Ark of the Covenant for teaching, and they were not worshipped. Meaning we can put the things, the 3D sculptures there only for teaching, not for idolizing or worshipping them. The fact that we have some big sculptures does not mean we have to bow to them or to kneel to them or to give them respect or worship, but we can just be using them as examples of or teaching aids. Example, when you are evangelizing to someone, when you're dealing with evangelism, you begin with a healthy message first. So you can use the sculptures as teaching aids for healthy as you create way for biblical lessons to come in your conversation with someone. Number two, sculptures can be used for respect, for giving respect and glory towards God. Isaiah chapter 42, reading on verse 8, the Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another idol or praise another idol. This tells us to say that when you are using sculptures as teaching aids, the respect and the glory goes to God. God does not share his glory with anyone. So we have to be using sculptures rightly by using them as teaching aids or as historical preservations. We can put them in museums, not to be worshipped, but to give reference to. Example, we can have a sculpture of how the Ark of the Covenant looks like. That one just before historical preservation. So the forthcoming generations, as they come in, when they look at this sculpture, they can have an idea of what the real thing looked like, to mirror something, not really to give it, not really to worship it or to bow down, but just to mirror something, to preserve the history of something. I think we can begin with that.
All right. So what are some of the biblical principles to consider when appreciating 3D art like sculptures and head busts and statues, all the 3D stuff, all the art? What are some of the biblical principles to consider when appreciating the 3D art?
All right. The biblical principles we have to consider. Number one is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. The Bible says, thou shalt not have any other gods apart from him.
Right.
We know this thing. So principle number one, as you make your 3D sculptures,
right,
make sure that the focus, the worship, the glory does not go to that. I mean, who worships a stone and make it a god? Something that is dead and cannot even save you when you're in problems. So as you make the sculptures, have in mind principle number one is all glory goes to God. All glory, all reverence goes to God because he's the only God and he's a maker. Number two principle is the purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 talks about the arts should be glorifying God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. As you make those sculptures, the aim is to take the glory to God. By all means, the glory should be to God. As you make the sculptures, as you make the 3D things, your focus should be them. The sculptures should depict how glory must be given to God, not them getting the glory. Principle number three is they should review God, or they should review or reflect God's beauty. Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. David beautified the temple for the sake of God, not for the glory of the temple, but for the glory of God. Meaning, as you make the sculptures, they should beautify and reflect God's beauty. What God has made, it should not be something that should beautify the one who made the sculptures or the sculptures themselves, but they should just be a mere reflection of the beauty of God and its creation. Number three, the art that you make should evaluate its influence. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Test every spirit. That's what the Bible talks about. Meaning, those acts that we make, principle number four is those acts that we make, the motive behind making them is not to channel the worship to some other deity apart from God. Mind you, the center is God. Number five, if the acts are symbolic in a way, let them symbolize God of heaven and God alone. That is principle number five. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. Hezekiah, we find the story of Hezekiah when he destroys the bronze serpent and everything that he did because it was depicting idols. Meaning the symbolism behind the art should be about God and God alone, not symbolizing any other deity or whatsoever. The center focus of all these arts should be God and the glorification of God and the reflection of God's beauty and that alone. Aside that, nothing is acceptable.
Should Seventh-day Adventists commission sculptures for worship spaces?
Pardon?
Should Seventh-day Adventists commission sculptures for worship spaces? If yes, tell us why. If no, tell us why not.
All right. Should we Adventists include these sculptures for worship spaces? Number one, if we are to include these, the advice or the counsel given is that these ones should be avoided in worship places. Why? We have to avoid idolatry at all costs. Because if we are to worship these idols or these sculptures, we will shift our interest from worshiping the God of heaven. If we are to use these ones in our worship spaces, then they should be strictly for educational purposes only and to glorify God. Number two, why we should not be using these is we should be, it is dangerous because others will misunderstand or misinterpret the sculptures. If we are to use these 3D animations in our worship spaces like the church, when people come in our churches, they'll shift their focus to the sculpture or to the 3D animation and forget about the God behind the 3D art. Number four, we should discourage at all costs sharing the glory of God with any other thing that includes the 3D sculptures. So we shouldn't use these ones in our worship spaces. Rather, we can use them in our homes for teaching aids, or to glorify God, or to reflect the beauty of God, or to put them in a museum better like that.
So what are the dangers of confusing artistic appreciation with worship? I'm hearing you saying we should never worship them. We should. There's a difference, right, between appreciating art and worshiping it. So do tell us what the dangers of confusing artistic appreciation with worship.
All right, thank you. So we first have to deal with the difference between appreciating and worship. That is what we have to deal with first, to appreciate and to worship. So there are some key elements that we have to understand when we're talking about appreciating and worshiping, as we are contrasting the two, because the two are not the same. To worship something is to give it reverence and respect. That is number one. When you're worshiping something, you are giving it reverence or respect. Meaning, when you're appreciating something, the only thing you are doing is looking at its beauty and using it for educational purposes only. Mm. So when we talk about the difference between worship and appreciating, number two is the purpose. Number one is the respect and the reverence. Number two is the purpose, why you are appreciating it. To appreciate art, listen to this one closely. To appreciate art is recognizing and valuing artistic work for its beauty, creativity, or the ability to communicate the truth. That is to appreciate it. So you're just recognizing the value of the art, number one, the beauty of the art, number two, the creativity of the art, number three, and number four, its ability to communicate the truth. Meaning, if you're appreciating the art, you are not saying it is the truth itself, but it is communicating a deeper truth, which is God behind the art.
Yeah.
That is number one. Number two, the focus. The focus remains on God. If you are appreciating the art, the focus remains on God as the source of the creativity,
yeah,
and as the inspiration behind the art.
Right.
That is number two. Number three is the purpose. If you are appreciating, the art is just a tool to teach it. That is its purpose, to teach the truth.
Right.
To inspire or to bring people closer to their God, not an object to be worshipped,
right,
not an object to give respect or to bow down to,
yeah,
but it is just a tool that you are using to connect to the God, not to connect necessarily, but to reflect the beauty of this God that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But in the context of Adventism, artistic work depicts depictions like the prophecy charts, the sanctuary models are used in education and evangelism to explain the biblical truth while keeping God as the center. Meaning, whatever you do in appreciating the art, God is still the center. Don't lose the focus, which is God as the center.
Right.
There are some biblical examples were given about appreciating art. Example,
right,
is Exodus chapter 35, verse 30 to 35. We find a story there of Bezalel. Bezalel there makes an art that glorifies God, not really to worship the art, but to glorify God. Now, when we talk about worshiping the art,
right,
worshiping the art is giving reverence, devotion, or spiritual significance to the art. Example,
right,
you get the art, you begin to talk to the art, saying, you're the one that forgives our sin, that is prohibited, then yes, you're worshiping the art.
Yes.
When you're saying, no, you're the mother of who,
yes,
that did this, and you're going to do this to us, that is worshiping the art.
Okay.
And by all means, that must be avoided amongst Christians. That itself is idol worshiping.
Got it.
So, worship is to give spiritual significance to an object or artistic work in a way that blesses or competes with God. In other words, when you are worshiping the art, you are beginning to compete the art and God.
Right.
And that must be avoided.
Indeed. Indeed. Mvunis, I think you've asked that even the question I thought I was going to ask following. Thank you very much for your time. I'm looking forward to our conversations going on for the rest of the week. The conversation of art is a long and deep one, and I'm grateful that you are there now to answer our questions. Have a wonderful day for them, Mvunis.
Sure, thank you so much. Have a blessed day too.
Thank you very much, Mvunis.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.